The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show. Grow My Cleaning Company, Cleaning Nation. Welcome to the Cleaning Company. Sorry, this is the first time I've spoken apparently on a microphone. Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast. My name is Mike Campion. I have the lovely Crystal Cummins. For all of you on YouTube, you'll be able to see and verify. For you podcast folk, you're just going to have to trust that she is lovely. She is here. She is live. She started KC Clean, apparently with a K for the clean, November 19 in Atlanta, Georgia, serving both residential and commercial. She's since expanded to New York City. Crystal, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. So before we dive into any coaching, how did you get into the cleaning universe and how did you get into the Grow My Cleaning Company universe?
So as far as cleaning's happening, I kind of just fell into it. I started doing it moonlighting just to make a little extra money. And basically it kind of grew. People kept referring me, loved the work that I was doing. And I said, okay, let's go ahead and make this legal and turned it into something big. And since then it's growing and I absolutely love what I do. And how I found you guys, just happened on Instagram. I think we started following each other and just conversing back and forth, commenting on different posts and things that I put up there. And I've listened to a few of the podcasts in the past, so I am definitely a fan. And have taken a few tips. So I'm just super excited to be on here and to actually speak to you one-on-one.
Well, I'm a big Crystal Cummins fan. She's a big Grow My Cleaning Company fan. It's going to be a party. I can't wait to dive in. All right. Before I lied. I said there's two questions before. I've got one more random question. Then I promise I'll coach the crap out of you. What on God's green earth brought a girl from Atlanta to go wake up one morning? You know what? I need clients in New York City. How on God's green earth did that happen? They're not even close.
I know. Well, I'm actually originally from New York. Okay. So I have a large base of family and friends and now clients up there. So I have a team that works up there. I have an office manager or operations manager up there who serves as the physical me up there. So I handle getting the clients and scheduling and things of that nature. And then my me, Candy, handles everything up there as far as coordinating the workers and being on job sites and things like that. But really just having the need, seeing how well I was doing here in Atlanta, and having people in New York see the work, because I'm always posting and commenting and they're like, oh, we need you here. We need you here. And I'm like, oh, well, guess what? I'm here. So kind of just filling that need that people said they wanted.
Beautiful. And no disrespect to our New York friends, but you don't have the New York. I'm not a big fan of the New York accent. Very like just regular. I don't hear any accent. So
I know.
Did you have it?
I get that all the time.
Or did it just never pick it up?
No. Well, I have another accent. My family is from Barbados, so I have a Caribbean accent.
No, you don't even, I don't even hear that. I don't hear Caribbean. I don't hear New York. I don't even hear Atlanta. Like Atlanta's kind of got that Southern. Nothing, which is good.
No. Yeah. I'm really great at turning it on and off. I've used, before doing the cleaning, I've always held customer service, front desk kind of jobs. So I've always been very fine tuned with speech and grammar and things like that. Just making sure I speak very clear. So I'm very focused on speaking clearly. So when I'm with family, I use my accent because they understand me. And then when I'm around other people, you know, I speak so I can be heard and understood pretty much.
All right. So we got to have a little bit of accent before we go forward. Just pretend I'm family for 2 seconds. Talk as you would Mama Cummins.
I will try. I'll probably let it slip at a certain point. Or you'll hear a word that I say. Like a lot of times it's more terminology that I use. Like I'll say over yonder.
Or is that a Plato's thing?
Yeah. It really is. It's like look over yonder kind of thing, but with an accent. So I do that all the time. My son looks at me like, what, mom? Mike, just come here. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Awesome. As much as I could talk, I love your energy. I could talk to you all daggum day. Just in case some people, one or two out there are like, I need help with my cleaning company, dang it. Or Crystal's like, I need help with my cleaning company. What's going on in your world? How can I help you, young lady?
So my biggest thing is increasing profitability. Now that I am in two different states, just making sure that I'm basically I'm covering payroll. So I want to be able to cover payroll and then some, you know, just so increasing that profitability and just really making it worthwhile.
Perfect. Let's talk profitability. And honestly, having done, gosh, I don't even know if we're at 700 yet, but I know we're way over 600 podcasts. I don't know if we've done more than a dozen or so on profitability. And the reality is that's the biggest thing, right? Like at the end of the day, people want to know how to grow and how to hire and market and all sorts of good things. I'm not knocking those, but at the end of the day, right. Money, like there's some fine nonprofit organizations we could go work for, but if we're not making any money, like, right?
Right.
So, let's talk profitability. I would say the most common mistake I see owners of companies do is having an unrealistic expectation of profitability. So let's start there. A lot of times, many, if not most of us start with, I was cleaning, right? Like I had a mop and some hope and that was my gig, right?
And right.
When we do that, we feel like our profitability is like 90 to 100%, right? Like that, right. That thing, lady gave me a couple hundred bucks. I kept a couple hundred, that was that, right? And then when we hire, oftentimes we don't understand the impact that that's going to have. And then as we grow, we start having things like overhead, right? In case you'd like to have a cell phone, a website, marketing, uniforms, insurance, office, like on and on.
Right.
Right. We don't count that. So what we coach to is a 20% net profit. So if you've got $10,000 in revenue, we would only expect a $2,000 profit. And that's assuming you have a real business that you're not working in, but you're working on. So you're doing 10 grand a month and you're like, I can't live on $2,000 a month. Well, we need to grow a business. So a lot of times what will happen is people will go, oh, well, yeah, I've got to, you know, when I was working all the time, and when I say all the time, I don't know if you've been there, but it's typically all the time. Yeah.
All the time. Yeah. Yes.
Which means I was cleaning 30 or 40 hours a week, but then I was working 60 because I had to
do the business end.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not as simple as it looks. Right. I'm doing the huge air quotes for those of you guys who can't see me. I was making $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 or maybe $6,000 a month working 60 hours a week. And we feel like, oh, I kept all that. Right. So then we grow our business to 10,000. We're like, how come I'm making less? Well, we're transitioning from a job to a business. And if I work at Walmart, and they pay me $15 an hour, well, I'm going to keep most, if not, well, sorry, we won't even get into the government, but whatever the government leaves me, I don't have a lot of expenses. You know, I might have to have shoes or clothes or whatever I wear, but I get to keep most of it. So first and foremost, I want people to get clear on how profitable they actually are. So if you're at 20% or above, and you're like, I ain't cutting it, I wouldn't focus on getting more profitable, because the only way to get more profitable is to cut labor expense, which is tough, cut overhead, which can make you more profitable today, but will usually cost you long-term, right? If I don't pay my liability insurance and say it's $200 a month, I'll be $200 more profitable this month. But God forbid something happens, it's going to be bad times, right?
Right.
And then the final thing I could do is raise prices. So if I'm, which we coach a lot of people to do. So if my cost of goods sold is 50% or less, right? So cost of goods sold is basically what I pay my labor. And my overhead's 30%, then I'm going to have a 20% profit left over. If I've got that 20% profit, I'm not going to focus on trying to squeeze an extra nickel out of the business I have. I'm going to raise my revenue. So, you know, like, well, I can't live off $2,000 a month. I know. But when you're doing $6,000 a month in revenue, you're cleaning everything. That's it, right? You're like, I can't work anymore. I'm working all I can work. At 10 grand, you can run a little company like that in 5, 10, 15 hours a week. It's not that big of a deal when you've got staff. So you start growing a 50, 60, $70,000 a month company. Now you're making, you know, $10, $12, $15,000 a month. So first and foremost, understand what your profitability percentage is. If it's under 20%, we're going to raise prices to make sure our cost of goods sold gets down to 50%, 30% overhead, 20% profit. If it's already at 20% profit or more, and that's just not enough to pay our bills, we got to get a bigger company. That's all there is to it. And by the way, I don't know if you can hear, but in our condo there, they're destroyed. Here, I'm going to take you over. There's a building that used to be this like fancy furniture shop. They're knocking it down. It's so cool. There's like literally two people. There's just a big excavator and a dude with a hose. And Whereas, I don't know, can you see that?
They're just like, oh, yeah, that's so funny.
Big building, just knocking that thing.
And so, it's not going to do.
And my five-year-old's freaking out. He's like, oh, I want to be that. That's the job I want when I get old, Dad. Like, he's super fired up about the excavator. Oh,
that's so cute. Right.
So if any of you guys are hearing background noise, that's what it is.
No way.
Okay. So far, so good. Are we tracking on the profitability and kind of knowing where to start?
Somewhat. I'm thinking where I'm finding my fault is I feel like the cost of labor is what is the biggest issue in my from what I've reviewed from going over my books. So let's say I have a job, we'll just say it's $100 random, and I have a cleaner come out and I pay them like $50. So I've paid them 50, the job I'm profiting 50, but that's not considering, like you said, other expenses associated. So then sometimes I find that I will pay them and not pay myself to make sure that they're covered, kind of deal. So I'm trying to find that good balance, how to make it.
You've got a reactive thing. Like sometimes I pay them this and it costs this, and like, there's no control, right?
We
have control. So first and foremost, I only coach our people to take recurring jobs, right? So that I don't know what it's going to cost. That's typically reticent of a one-time job, right? I went out, I paid it. I don't know. So I coach you not to take any one-time jobs. So assuming you only have recurring jobs, there is no such thing as sometimes there's money, sometimes there's not. The standard is 50%. Right. So if you're like, hey, it cost me $100, or I got $100, I paid $50. That's $30 left over for overhead and only $20 left over for you. So again, if you're at 20% and that's not enough for your bills, it's not a profitability issue. It's a size of your company issue. If you're not paying your bills, that means there's a profitability issue. So again, I'm going to make sure my cost of goods sold are 50% or less. And the way we do that is by raising prices. So if I've got a client that's $100 a month and it costs me $50 in labor, we're square. We'll move on. If I've got another client that's $100 a month and it costs me $70 in labor, we need to raise the prices to 140, right? If it costs $70 and I need my cost to be 50%, I got to raise that client to 150. I know this is what we walk people through in our program all the time. They're always afraid. They always, you don't understand, Mike, my people won't do it. They're going to quit. I've had this lady since I was beginning. She's old. She can't afford it. We got 49 different excuses as to why we can't do it. And at the end of the day, are you committed to being a for-profit endeavor? And the best way to help the poor is to not be the poor. So you've got to kind of like, I don't want to say man up or woman up, but that's kind of part of it. You kind of just, I'm here to be profitable and I'm going to do the hard things. That's what an owner does. So does that make sense? We're not going to just go, sometimes there's no money left over. We're like, I'm in charge of what's happening. I'm going to make sure that prices, so I know my cost of goods sold is going to be 50%. Does that help or no?
Yes, absolutely.
Cool. Questions, comments, rude remarks. How are you feeling?
Feeling kind of good. And feeling good. No questions over here right now.
All right. The one extra, because we've got a minute and I want to make sure I give you all the value I can in the time that we got. The one extra kind of bonus coaching I'm going to give you is I'll give you two. And I understand it's hard. So I'm not saying you have to do all this right away. None of our people do we coach to do commercial and residential. So I worked probably 10 years in business, first with my cleaning company and a manufacturing company and all this stuff. And I still remember with my manufacturing company, we did all this stuff. We did like bags and party tents and camping tents and awnings and manufacturing, just all this stuff. And I think the thing was only doing $400,000 or $500,000 a year or something. And I thought I had $500,000 business. I didn't. I had like six little $200,000 to $150,000 businesses. And I told myself like, oh, they're all the same. Cause it was all kind of manufacturing fabric goods, I guess is what you could say. But because I kept thinking, oh, but I've got so much more opportunity because if this grows, you know, I've got three or four kind of like lines in the water. So if any one of those, I'll be good. I told myself that and they never bit. Right. So eventually my wife now, I've been married for 11 years. This is 20 years ago. My wife at the time left. I always say that because a lot of people know Natalie and they're like, Natalie left. No. Natalie 15 years is a long time ago. My wife left and, you know, did not go well, or if you ever, if any of y'all have a chance to get divorced, do not take it. It's awful. Stay married.
Right.
So it was awful. And I was kind of forced to, I had a lot of bills with alimony and child support and all this financial commitment, but I just wanted to curl up and die. So I was kind of like, I got to earn money so I don't go to jail. Right. Cause if you don't pay, they throw you back in jail, but I just don't even want to leave the house. So I was, I don't want to say I was forced, but I felt like I can't handle doing all this stuff. So the business I lost because of the divorce, I started another one and just focused on one thing. We just did shade structures. That's it. And I'll be danged if that business didn't, that was the first 7-figure business I did. And it took me 10 years to fool around. I did that one and we grew to multi-million dollars very quickly. And I gave about 70% of that to focus, right? So I thought, it doesn't take me that much time to do this, or it's so similar. And they were similar. It was just literally I had sewers making different stuff. How could it be more similar in a warehouse, right?
Right.
They were different, right? So we do the same thing with like, cleaning company, residential client. It's the same thing. Well, I guess, sure. Then why don't you clean dogs, dry cleaning, cars, houses, garages, power washing, you know, they're like, there's just because it has the word cleaning, it doesn't mean the same. So I have found faster growth and more profitability, focus helps. So if it were me, I would pick the one I was going to do and I would stop taking new, and I probably, we'd have to do this offline and kind of go a little deeper into this, but I picked the one I was going to do. Doesn't mean I was going to fire everybody. What's your makeup? Is it like 80-20 heavy one, 50-50? What kind of percentage you're working with?
Each? It's like 90-10.
Which way? Commercial or residential?
More residential than commercial.
Okay. So
yeah.
Easy way to go is probably, we'll kill the residential. Cause again, what we don't notice is like now I'm working 24/7, right? Cause residential pretty much 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. You kind of have your thing. Commercials basically not Monday through Friday, the opposite of 8 to 5 Monday through Friday.
Right.
So if you have one or two commercial accounts, certainly 6 or 7 day accounts, you're just never off. And that, notice. So yeah, first thing I'd probably do is make sure my cost of goods sold is at 50% for profitability. Second thing I would do would be focus on one thing. In your case, if you're 90-10 residential, I'd probably just stick with residential. The very minimum, stop taking new commercial accounts, probably raise prices substantially at the very minimum on my commercial counter accounts. And if they leave, that's problem solved. If they stay, I'm making more money for, you can't lose, right? And then eventually within probably a year, I'd be like, no more commercial, just residential. And you'd be shocked at how that lack of focus can get you. Last thing I'll give you is a bonus. And this one might be a little more wobbly and we'd have to talk more offline, but I don't know that if I was in Atlanta, I'd start a company in New York. You do it because of the sexy factor, right? Like I'm in two places. I'm super cool. And I've been there. I've been like, I want to start a new place. And it kind of scratches an entrepreneurial itch, right? Like I feel important.
Right.
Cool. But you're in Atlanta, girlfriend. Like how many millions of people are there? And let's say in your niche, you're like, I only want $100,000 incomes and up and $700,000 houses and paid off and married and kids. Okay. Say there's only 100,000 households in Atlanta criterion, right? I'm guessing if I asked you how many clients you had, it'd be under 500. So let's say it's 500. That's like 5% of the total thing. And you're like, I need to go, I got to take this show on the road and go all the way to New York and add all that complexity and management and layer. Why? Now I get it. If you're in a place, you're like, there's 20,000 people, there's 112 households that are even possible for this. And I do 30 of them. There ain't no one else. I gots to go. Now I'm with you. Like, we got to go. But when you're Atlanta, holy heck, sister. So if it's already set up, I'm not saying I would shut it down, but when I hear lack of profitability, it's one of two things. Typically it's screwed up pricing, right? Cost of goods sold high, i.e. prices are too low and lack of focus. Right. 17 things. And I'm doing them all, I don't want to say poorly, but not as well as all right.
Right. For sure.
Is there questions, comments, rude remarks?
No, man. I loved it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You're so helpful.
I've done this a couple of times and I love owners of cleaning companies and Crystal, your energy is awesome. So Cleaning Nation, if this is scratching where you're itch and you're like, heck, I need more. I love this. Help, help, help. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com. We've got the free masterclass is amazing. We've got a 15,000 member Facebook group that's totally free. We've got like 600 of these podcasts that are totally free. All the resources that we put together for the last 5, 6, 7 years, we have an entire team of people creating resources and content to help you grow your cleaning company, growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now. I will see you there. Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me, but like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing. Share it with a friend. Share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. That's 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now. 602-932-6431. Give me a text. Say hey. Can't wait to meet you.